Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Those words from Psalm 46 in Spanish were the text of the sermon that I preached to my congregation in Puerto Rico on the Sunday after 9/11, 10 years ago today. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Some of you weren't even born yet on that day 10 years ago when the Twin Towers fell. Some of you were too young to remember. But for the rest of us, that terrible but memorable day will live on in our memories because it's the day when the threat of militant Islam and global terrorism became more than a threat to us. It became a life-changing reality for our country. And while that event is certainly on our radar today, just as it's being commemorated by so many people throughout our country today, it certainly isn't our focus this morning. Our focus this morning is the same as always on God, who is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble for all who trust in Him. We, the saints of God, do not look for peace and comfort where the world looks for it. We don't share the world's delusion of earthly peace as the highest goal. We don't look for peace in the goodness of the hearts of some men, nor do we flee from terror caused by the evil of other men. We don't find peace in the security and protection that a government may or may not be able to provide. We, the saints of God, find our peace in our citizenship that is in heaven, incorruptible, immovable. We find our peace in God, our refuge, and in God who came in the flesh, the Word made flesh, to reveal God to us, who purchased our citizenship in heaven at the price of His blood. We find our peace and comfort in God who is our refuge and the strength of the cross of Christ. No matter what happens on earth, nothing can move our citizenship that is in heaven. Nothing can change the refuge that the blood of Christ has given us. So while the world commemorates this terrifying day, the church year and the lectionary of the church provide us with some much-needed stability in the unstable world in which we live. As far as the church is concerned, today is simply the 12th Sunday after Trinity, as it is every year about this time. And so we follow Jesus, slow and steady. Today we follow Jesus through the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, and we see Him as the ever-present help in trouble, not of a country or a nation or even of a city, but of one man who needed Him. And just as Jesus extended His divine help to that one man, so He extends it also to each one of you. Today we see Jesus, the humble healer of ears and tongues. First, we see the faith and the love of the men who brought their friend to Jesus to be helped by Him. Although the man they brought, their friend, couldn't hear, they had heard about Jesus, that He was kind and good and merciful to all who came to him looking for help, and that he was powerful to heal all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. They had heard that and they believed it by the power of God's Spirit. And because they believed, they loved. Where there is faith, there is also love. And because they believed that Jesus could and would help, because they believed he was merciful, they went out of their way and showed love to their friend and brought him to the one who could help. They brought him to the healer of ears and tongues. That's what Christian love does. Christian love is more than just helping out someone in need. Lots of people do that, and we're thankful to God for it, that he puts people on earth to help out his people in need. Lots of people helped those in need in the stairwells of the Twin Towers, the North and the South. Many people made great sacrifices for other people too on that day and in the aftermath of it. And we're thankful for that. It's good for this life. But none of that makes a person good in God's eyes. Only Jesus is good. And so only faith in Jesus counts someone as good in God's eyes. But where there is genuine faith in Christ, there love also must follow. And service to our neighbors, to those in need, like the service that those people rendered in our gospel today, the best kind of service, bringing their friend to Jesus for help. Then we see Jesus do the very thing they knew that he would by faith. He dropped everything. He halted his journey. He took the man aside away from the crowd as if nothing else in the world mattered except the needs of that one poor man, deaf and unable to speak as he was. He took him aside and gave him all the attention of God on one man, and with divine sign language communicated with that man, with fingers in his ears and a hand on the man's tongue. He told the man he knew exactly what his malady was. With spit from his mouth, he communicated to that man that healing only comes from the mouth of Jesus. With his gaze fixed on heaven, he told the man where his help came from, who it was who was about to help him. And with a deep sigh, he related to that man that relief was on its way. Heaven's healer had come. And finally, he let the man read his lips with one word, Ephphatha. Be opened. And suddenly, ears that couldn't hear could hear, and a tongue that was imprisoned was loosened. Jesus, the healer of ears and tongues. See how humble and gentle our great physician is. In his gentle care for the needs of everyone, stooping down to attend to every individual's needs with just the right kind of care. A humble Savior who isn't squeamish about touching sinful human beings. He isn't deterred in the least by saliva and germs and earwax, nor by bedpans for that matter. Nor is he deterred by sinful hearts and selfish acts and foul language and dirty deeds of the past. This heavenly healer, this humble healer, has not come to heal at a distance. He has come to get his hands dirty in the healing of our human woes. This is what Paul talked about in the epistle that you heard today, the glorious ministry of the Spirit. Glorious, not because it's so awesome and impressive, but glorious because it is so humble and so powerful at the same time. Powerful in that this ministry of the Spirit brings righteousness and life to people who are unrighteous and dead. The ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the Spirit that speaks to deaf ears and makes them hear. But it's a ministry that's so humble that it's hidden, and no one would see it as glorious. Who pictures Jesus with his fingers in a man's ear or touching a person's tongue? And yet this is the humble and glorious ministry of the New Testament. See how humble Jesus was. What did he do next? He commanded the crowd not to tell anyone about this miracle he had done, and he had to tell them many times because they didn't want to listen. They went and told people anyway. Why wouldn't Jesus want people to hear about this miracle that he had done? Because the real glory of Jesus was not in these physical healings that he had done, but in the physical death that he would soon give on the cross. The real glory of Jesus and the ministry that would fill all the days of the New Testament was not physical healing of the maladies of man. It was spiritual healing. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life, as Paul said. It would be words of the Spirit that would bring life to people, spiritual healing that would be taking place until Jesus returns. The physical healings that Jesus did were signs of the great physical healing that Jesus will perform when he raises all the bodies of his believers and transforms them into glorious bodies like his glorious body, with ears that can hear, eyes that can see, mouths that can speak, and no more sickness or disease. But until that day, all people, including the saints of God, will still be plagued by sickness and disease of all kinds, including ears that cannot hear and tongues that do not speak. But more than that, Jesus' physical healings draw us to him as the healer of spiritual maladies that infect us all, whether we can hear or speak or not. All people are born with ears that cannot hear. Because since the Garden of Eden, it's been the devil's voice ringing in our ears, "You can be like God." And so no one can hear or wants to hear that sin infects everything we do. No one can hear or wants to hear that Jesus is God's only solution, and that he is the one who opens the doors of heaven with his wounds and with his righteousness, not ours. Our ears cannot hear by nature the gospel of Christ and believe it. And there's a problem with our tongues too, a dumbness that plagues mankind, much more serious than a tongue that cannot speak. No tongue in this world is able to speak the praises of God rightly or talk about him rightly. No tongue in this world can honor him as the only one who is holy, the Holy One of Israel, as you heard in Isaiah 29 today. No one can honor him as the only one who is holy and fear him and obey him and worship him alone as God according to his word, not ours. No tongue can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What did the tongues of men say after 9/11? Foolish things that made no sense spiritually. Terrorists are evil and children of the devil, but all who love America are good children of God. It's gibberish. We should all come together to make peace, Christians, Jews, Muslims, any religion, because we all worship the same God. You remember hearing things like that, don't you? Blasphemy. But such are the tongues of men that have not been touched by the healing touch of Jesus, the healer of ears and tongues. But ears that do not hear the gospel in faith, and tongues that cannot praise God rightly, those are the very ears and tongues that Jesus came to open and to loosen, not with big impressive miracles, but with humble, simple power of His Holy Spirit, through humble, sinful ministers of the true gospel, through humble, lowly means of preaching and baptizing with water. God calls on this wicked, sinful world to repent and to seek Him in Christ alone. That's the ministry of the Spirit, plain and simple. That includes Islamic terrorists. It also includes the most patriotic Americans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. 9/11, like all disasters on earth, was a call to repentance for all people, a precursor of the great day of judgment in which more than a couple of towers will fall. All the towers on earth will fall, and every soul will be held accountable to God. 9/11 was a wake-up call, not for America, but for Americans, to seek refuge from God's wrath that will be much more terrifying than anything an earthly terrorist can do. What 9/11 didn't do was show anyone where to find that refuge. That's what the church is for. That's why we are here on earth, to be the tongues that have been loosened by God because our ears have been opened by His gospel, so that we can speak the praises of God rightly, that we can speak to men rightly and tell them the truth. Tell them the truth about the reason for all these tragedies and about where to find a safe place to hide. In the wounds of Jesus Christ, in the promise of forgiveness of sins for His sake, in the truth of His resurrection from the dead, and in the promise of eternal life in heaven for all who believe in Him. Most people in our country have remained deaf to God's call to repentance, and their tongues still do not know how to speak about Christ rightly. But Jesus, the healer of ears and tongues, has opened the ears and loosened the tongues of a remnant of mankind by His gospel. The ears of some have been opened, the tongues of some have been loosened. You who believe in Jesus as your Savior from sin, you who look to Him for refuge and comfort, who look to Him for forgiveness and peace and eternal life, forgiveness is yours, peace is yours, and comfort and eternal life, no matter what happens in the world around you, no matter how much death surrounds you. And even now, the gospel of Christ, even now in this divine service, continues to hold your ears open and continues to keep your tongues loosed. Even now, the body and blood of Jesus are about to touch your tongues again, to bring comfort and healing to troubled souls. And you and I, as the Church of God, have this mission. We're the only ones who can speak with loosened tongues to the people of this world. to hold out the healing power of the gospel of Christ to friends and neighbors and our community. You and I can be like the brave men and women who on 9/11 went up the stairwells of the North and South Towers instead of down in order to save those above them who could not save themselves. They risked life and limb to do that. Some of them died in the process. The risk to our lives and limbs is no lesser. We risk life and limb when we speak the simple gospel of Christ, because the world will hate you for it. The world will hate the church for it and persecute the church for it. The very ones whom we are trying to save with that message will turn on us and push their way out so that we are injured, whether it's our life and limbs or our income, or whether friends leave or we lose our careers. But why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we risk life and limb to save those who cannot save themselves? It was Jesus, the healer of ears and tongues, who gave himself on the cross for us and brought his healing gospel to our ears to open them and to loosen our tongues. Why wouldn't we give everything in the sacrifice for his gospel? So this gospel today of Jesus healing a man who was deaf and couldn't speak is perfect for this day of commemoration of 9/11. Jesus, the healer of ears and tongues, is present in this world still through his church to bring a great healing, a spiritual healing, to you and to others, even the forgiveness of sins and salvation, not only from a temporal death, but eternal salvation in heaven. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.